My goodness, folks. We're back. Feels like a lifetime ago that we were doing this. It was actually just 24 hours ago. WrestleMania Sunday in the books. We are live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. And I think the vibe's going to be slightly different tonight. We've got an expert panel. Speaking of such, the Fourth Horseman just joined. Lord Oracle in the building. I think it's a slightly different vibe. Not to say last night was negative, but certainly feels different here tonight. Expert panel, as always, Jack Crosby. How are you tonight, mate?
I'm good. I'm very good.
I was going to say, you're better than good, right? Yeah. When we first got in the stream yard, I was like, Jack, you good?
He starts we did it! To me. We did it!
I love it. I respect it. I'm happy for you. Bob O'Neill, I'm happy for you also. It was a year ago that you had an incredible face as you entered the stream yard. Like, it's truly extraordinary moment, and we've come full circle here. The story is finished. How are you tonight, Bobby?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that the other day. Came in very upset last year. Tonight there's adrenaline in all of our souls. It's a great time to be alive, Joe.
I love the pairing of you saying that with us all looking fucking exhausted was awesome, by the way. Adrenaline in the souls, bro. We're going to try our best here to make it home. We appreciate the support. The Oracle of Wrestling in the building. How are you tonight, mate?
I'm well. I think we saw a great show, you know.
I agree.
The first time in 5 years of double nights of Mania. Night two has successfully beaten night one.
Comfortably so.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not close. Jack's right. I'm impressed. I think the crowd was even better than that. I mean, it was a big factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The weather must have been a big part last night. We talked about Oracle. You mentioned it a lot. It has to have been a big factor. They were so much better tonight. So much better. And it was a game changer, but everything just came together better tonight. It had a completely different feel. And don't get me wrong, there's still, you know, I'm not saying that the entire card was like this star rating epic, because it wasn't that way.
Yeah. But
it flowed better. It was more, everything felt like it was hitting the notes correctly. As we did last night, folks, we're going to just kind of jump around here. I think it's foolish to start with anything but the main event, right? And watch what we just watched. We expected a spectacle. We predicted something very close to what happened, minus different Texan man. But it was the vibe we expected. Now, what I will say was about the main event, we got more of a traditional wrestling match than I expected for much.
20 minutes of one.
Yeah. And I thought that was beneficial, actually, to the show and the match, because I think these guys have great physical chemistry. So let's start with the main event. Bobby, I'll start with you. Cody and Roman. This conversation is going to go on a while, I think it's fair to say. So just take it away, and we'll see how we go. Here, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, from a pure in-ring standpoint, I don't know that it was quite as good as last year's, but also, like, it's not going to matter because of how it ended and, you know, what it represented, and that's going to be fine. It was great. They do have great chemistry together. It did take a little bit to get going, but once it did, it was tremendous. And, just obviously a lot's going to be made about Cody and this new era and all that, but you know, we just saw from Roman for the past 3.5 years, I don't think we should take for granted either, because we're never going to see anything like that again either. And it was crazy.
Absolutely. Jackie, go for it, mate. Jack Crosby.
I don't want it. Like, what Roman did tonight,
he was great tonight.
Something that should not be forgotten. Like, Bobby, I'm celebrating Cody winning. Everyone should be. And Cody is going to be a great world champion. It's going to be a multi-time world champion.
For sure.
But what Roman has done is something that is going to go down in history as one of the greatest all-time reigns. Like, fuck the daily records, like some, like 3,000 some whatever days. That doesn't matter. Like, what Roman has done is something that should not be forgotten.
Very unique. Very unique piece of history, and he brought it here at the end of the reign, for sure.
But No, that match, that the match itself was better than I expected.
Yeah, same.
Which I think was a testament to how great the match was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I said on Twitter, and like, that's one of the most underappreciated WrestleMania main events in ring wise in history.
Because of the finish, yeah.
And they kind of, they did a really, really good job of following that up this year.
I agree.
Before all the bullshit. Like, they, mm-hmm. they put on a great match before they decided, okay, here comes the bullshit.
Here it comes, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you know what tonight also did?
What's that, man?
This might be controversial, but I don't really think it is.
Uh-oh.
This is what happens now. That just made WrestleMania 39 better.
Yeah, I agree it did. I think that match will play.
It just made Roman Cody, it just made, because things matter in context and hindsight do. Like, living the moment is obviously, like, in a lot of ways, number one. Like, I get, like, you know, Alex was there, right? Like, he may not feel that way, but
it changes it historically. It changes. Definitely. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Now I can sit here and comfortably say Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania 39 is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
It should be looked at touch. They nailed the landing tonight, and I think we can revisit that match briefly and say, you know what? Forget the finish. They nailed it. They you know, they told the story, even with all the controversy and all the criticisms, some valid, some not.
But the finish was worthwhile. Yeah.
I
think with the match itself tonight, it was challenging in that I think the people know this is Bloodline rules. We're not buying on false finishes until some shenanigans happen. So that was challenging, but they have great chemistry. Roman was tremendous, as we've all mentioned. And when it came time for the run-ins and such, I mean, the drama was incredible. I have to say, Michael Cole really brought it. Right, Jimmy and Jay did, which that was a terrifying spear. I thought Jay had spiked him, so I was glad to see him get in the ring afterwards. How funny was Cena just immediately getting rock bottomed? Then, of course, we had one of the funniest visuals in WrestleMania history. There is the Undertaker emerge, looking like he just woke up and gone for a jog. So many moving pieces. Oracle, what did you think of the match? And then what did you think of the 101 run-ins? What a reaction they all got. Go for it.
I'll just start with this. You know, Roman Reigns looked like he didn't care for most of the months of the month of March. I don't know. I'm not a fly on the wall. Maybe something clicked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, Heyman said, all right, listen, your last week, put something into it, because it was and part of it is when Dwayne the Rock Johnson is here building up the, you know, I mean, it's hard to match him in a build, you know, and all this stuff. But this past week, I remember the DM that Alex sent. Oh man, Roman dyed his beard back, you know, on Monday. he might be retaining. Ever since Monday, this whole week, he just did that, you know?
Yeah.
It was like he just came alive. He came on.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to end the reign in a way that was, you know, befitting what he'd done. I think he knew.
He was amazing in the press conference last night, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it was important.
His performance tonight was the best he's had. And, I mean, just probably, what, summer 22?
Yeah.
Other than last year's, you know, Mania main event, it was this is the best he's looked since then.
Maybe it's like my age, because I know I'm so much older than you guys. Like, I grew up the Hulkamaniac in the 80s and shit. Roman Reigns is in that upper echelon. I know people don't want to put him there, like in company history.
Yeah.
Roman is that guy. He is that guy. And I think if we get another 10 years out of Roman, which I think is possible.
The schedule he works, certainly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, we're talking surpassing Hogan. And the, like,
especially with the next chapter.
Who knows what's to come with him?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's absurd.
For sure.
I have a theory that I'll throw out once we get done talking about the match a little bit more. But I will say this. As far as the match itself, I thought the 22 minutes were great. You know, I didn't think they were outstanding quite like last year's, right?
Very, very good.
But I loved, I mean, Roman was just incredible. Like, I loved him putting the table back underneath the apron. His trash talk was awesome. You know, the part where he hit the crossroads and Cody kicked out, great job by him. He said, oh, that's a terrible move. He said, you know, I can't beat it. You know, you can't beat me with this. The spear through the barricade by Cody. What a tremendous switch there. The cool little switches they did there. Seth's interference was hilarious. Solo seemed to be late, although I liked how Cody kind of played like he was looking for him, right?
Yeah.
Solo came out. The Cena Rock was incredible. I was going nuts. The biggest flaw of wrestling nerds like us is sometimes we book things in our head.
Thanks.
And we find ourselves a little bit disappointed, right? I think a lot of us would have wanted, and again, it doesn't matter, the finish. They nailed it, but like,
it's fun. Yeah.
You know, a flaw of a wrestling fan is we probably, you know, a lot of us, including myself, wanted the glass shatters. We got Taker, which was honestly a little bit lame, but like, whatever.
There's very funny, there,
right? Roman was Taker's second loss at Mania. There's a thread there, so it doesn't make
it. Could do it, yeah.
But it was, you know, it's, you know, that's fine.
And Rock and Taker have history.
They do.
He's also like the lore of the Undertaker is he's like the WWF protector and Avenger guy.
That's very true.
Yeah. He just looked very funny because, of course, he always does now, right? He just looked hilarious.
That finish is critical because it's a little thread closer that they just planted there, right there. Okay. And yeah, it's lore and you can tease it or whatever. I don't care. It was good. Great. Roman Reigns stands in the middle of the ring with a steel chair. He has Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins on each corner, okay? He hits Cody Rhodes, he wins the match.
It was very good, actually, yeah.
No, but that was
hard. Not. He chose, he could not forget what happened to
him. Yes, that was so good.
That was the mistake that was made. He could not let that go. And he finally got that payback on Seth. And boom, that was it, you know.
And it wasn't something that really struck me at first because at first I was too busy laughing at like I initially perceived the Seth thing as, oh my god, what a dog. But in the post match when like Cody acknowledged Seth, it was like that was actually pretty cool, right? The idea that he took the bullet for him almost.
It was a psychological thing, and then like if I show up in the Shield gear, Roman's gonna fucking have PTSD.
It was cool, yeah.
And hit me instead of you.
It was cool. I didn't really piece it together until the post match, and then it was pretty neat. A lot of Shield metaphors going on in the chat. Yeah, it was moving, Jack. It was, I don't know, it had it back to punch, didn't it?
It's so funny because we, like a lot of people, fantasy book the how Seth turns on Cody, but Seth helping Cody worked out so much better.
Yeah. So much better. The term was a bad idea, man. That was way better. That was like actual character development. And generally, I hate using those terms of wrestling, but it actually fits here. Like the Cody Seth thing has actually been presented very well. Like sincerely,
especially because the more I thought about it recently, trying to turn Seth heel at this point, I don't think doesn't work because I think they're going to cheer him anyway.
They're going to cheer him, and he's been around forever. They've seen him as a heel.
He's the guy that's been, like he's the veteran now.
Yeah, they respect
him. It's not gonna do much.
I agree. Especially because this character he's doing now was an initial heel character, right? It's just silly. Yeah. It's point, especially at work with Cody of all things, right? It's like we've done that. But the thing that really struck me tonight, beyond the match, the post match was the least Vince thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I note that because it is relevant. Folks, and whether you're into the new era or not, the whole thing this weekend has been new era. They've beat us over the head with it. And the post-match was very, very striking in that regard because that was pro wrestling. I mean, the baby faces came out. The champion even got the microphone and had a chance to say a few words. Things he said, I will leave there because I don't know where that will end up. And Bruce Pritchard being mentioned was a moment for sure.
Punk's face when he said...
Yeah, but my point is like,
it was like, well,
yeah, it was interesting, but it was a post match that I just do not think you'd ever have seen in the Power regime.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, the first like Vince is gone is when Steph came out.
Yeah, it was interesting, and again, that doesn't mean. Let me be clear, folks. That doesn't mean that the new era is the greatest thing ever. I'm just saying it was very, very apparent. Like, it felt like pro wrestling, and the pro wrestlers feel like they feel comfortable being pro wrestlers again. And I think Cody's been a huge, huge benefit to that. So that was a real interesting thing. Go for it, Jake.
Fucking Michael Cole at the end of the match said, "This is why I love professional wrestling."
They felt like humans in the way that only pro wrestlers can, where they still feel like they're fucking insane, all of them. But like, it did feel very, very apparent that they were trying to send a message to that. Bobby, what did you make of the post-match? Very unique, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And it was nice that Cody got to do that, and, you know, all the baby faces came out. And, you know, they want you to know that it's a new era. That's been the big talking point all week, you know, in the interviews and the shows. And, you know, we're here now, and it's good. Obviously, they need to kind of repair their image a little bit, and they're doing that, I think, slowly, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, what they got to do at this point.
And I don't know about that part of it, right? I have no clue. It may fucking suck to work there still. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no clue. None of this is a moral endorsement of these people. I don't know.
No.
But
I'm just saying it felt different.
Yeah.
The point made is that it felt like, it really did feel like
it's a different company.
Man, it's not.
Yeah. And it's, now when I say it's a different company, I mean to watch, right?
Exactly.
Wrestling's got a long way to go when it comes to culture and pro wrestling. And I think it's important to keep that center of your mind.
But again,
it's different for sure.
Wrestling now is a weekly television product. So now I'm most excited about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you going to give me on Raw? Because remember, like last year we had the deflating, and remember the Raw after Mania sucked so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was like a long time ago. I forget that was only last year.
Remember, that was horrible. And of course, that was because Vince walked in.
That was an infamous episode, yeah.
Like, if you're going to show me this is a new era, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Let's kick this around a little bit. Fuck it, it's WrestleMania night. Let's have some fun.
If you don't mind, I'm gonna throw out my theory.
Go for it.
Shot in the dark. Still think the dude's crazy and working people, but Jacob Fatu.
Oh, he's gonna kick the shit out of Roman Reigns.
He's gonna beat the shit out of Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
He will be brought there by Dwayne the Rock Johnson, the final boss.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he will have Roman
exactly
the Rock next year at WrestleMania 41.
Yeah.
He's Dwayne's insurance policy and his own recruit to the family. We've talked about that a lot in the prior months. So I don't think any of us were surprised by today's news, quote unquote. He is fucking insane, so he could just be making it up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where things have been, you know, that's the direction things have been pointing. I think it's a natural storyline development. So, yeah, I would look for that. I'm going to say it because it could be hilarious, but don't count it out, especially with what he tweeted today. Tama Tonga may be involved in that, which is also like an insane combination of words that I just had to say here live on the air, but it could happen. Who does Cody Rhodes work first? Who's he working in Paris?
Randy.
Sorry, in where are they in France?
Randy.
Randy, you think? Interesting. Where are they in France, Bob?
Lyon.
Lyon, okay. France.
So Jackie's got Randy. Bob, who do you think?
It's interesting because, like, you figure it's got to be someone on SmackDown, but he talked about how he wants to be on both shows, which I don't get how that would work. But, like, assuming it's someone on SmackDown, Randy makes sense. Just kind of do, like, a babyface thing just to do it. Because, you know, if you get into top heels on SmackDown, it's, like, AJ's there, which I don't know if they're going to do that yet. You know, Cross, which they're not going to do.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, they haven't seen any four heels on Raw, but yeah, I think Randy would be a really good first defense.
Yeah. Oracle, what do you think? Any ideas for what Cody could do up first as champ? Anything come to mind? The Oracle of Wrestling. Oh, do you have any, no, you're good. Do you have any ideas?
People are like blowing me up, man. That's the thing. Like, I got, so I told people off the air, but like, I got old high school buddies that are texting me crazy because
wrestling's cool again.
Wrestling's very popular again.
It is cool. Who do you think? No, you're good. Who do you think Cody's going to work first for the belt, mate?
I honestly, I don't know, man. Like, this felt like such the, this felt like, honestly, you know, before I jumped on the air, I was like, that's the Bloodline era right there.
Yeah.
When they came back with the fans in Summer 21, I know Roman had the belt before that. Till now, that's Bloodline era. It's over now.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2.5 years or whatever, almost three, it's over. So, it's a reset. I honestly don't even really have an answer.
Yeah.
It's such a reset that I don't really know.
Solo's the default, I guess, right?
Man,
which isn't interesting, but that crowd's gonna be so hot, they'll be fine. I mean, it won't be good, but it'll be fine, you know. Yeah. They got some work to do on that front. I think after what we saw tonight, you can heat AJ up and get a pay-per-view match out of him and Cody, definitely, to be honest, after what we saw tonight. But obviously he just lost tonight, so that won't be the direct way. I think they'll save Gunther, but time will tell. Okay, Cody Rhodes, new champ. Anything else on the main event kind of block of everything that happened there, post-match, all that stuff? Anything else, fellas? Shout them out. Go for it. Are we good to proceed? What do you reckon?
I mean, Bobby? they did it, you know?
Stuck the landing, bro.
They all had something. As the entrances and stuff, as the match went along, I felt about 75 to 90% confident. You know, I felt pretty good about Cody winning pretty much the whole match. But, you know, once it happened, it was just like, I'm not going to lie, when he was hitting those last three crossroads, I was looking and I was like, all right.
Yeah, same.
But
there's a great moment when Cody pulled himself up for the third one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. Very, very cool. A new era, as they said a million and one times. We'll see what that looks like. Cody is the champ. I think obviously is well overdue. I think it goes without saying that there's a lot of people that are very excited in the company, and obviously the fans, we knew what they would be thinking. But I think there's definitely a feeling that Cody is the leader right now, right? And they want to kind of see how far he can take it. So, yeah,
and I mean, how can you doubt him? Like with the merch sales, and
you can't. Yeah. He got himself over enough. They had to turn the Rock heel, brother. I mean, at that point, you can't. Mm-hmm.
Like even Roman has to acknowledge, pun intended, that. But it still makes it like we're going to look back at this Roman run 10, 20, 30 years from now as like, holy fucking shit, man.
It was a crazy stretch of time, dude.
Like, especially him, like he leaves during the pandemic, and then he'll only, like, he tells Vince, I'll only come back if I could do what I want to do.
Dude, when he, and
Vince was in a position where, like, okay.
I just can't wait to the Laps fan episode in 10 years where they do a segment where Terry Bollea storms the
goes,
oh no, dude, he can't beat mine.
Shout out Laps fan. There are guys that literally have left the company and come back in the time that Roman was the champ. Like Andrade left after and came back. In the time, like Jade Cargill's whole wrestling career occurred in that time thus far, you know, like, his debut at that point.
Here was a guy who even I watched that documentary, like you could tell he was like he didn't want to do what Vince, like Roman is, his initial run was as a heel, like it should have been, like not the next, like the way they pushed him as the next John, like okay, Cena's out, here's this guy in, like Roman's like no. I'm a prick. Let me be a prick. And they're like, no. Yeah. He's like, well,
there was a lot of years wasted, but thankfully things ended up on track, and it seems the timing worked out the way it was supposed to, I guess, after all.
Also,
yes.
How about Phil and John in the back there cracking up?
Oh yeah, dude, that was surreal, right? That was all surreal. LA Knight being in there for some reason popped me huge too. Yeah, I didn't realize he was involved in any of that stuff.
That was something like I explained to my wife not too long ago. It was so funny because like she didn't understand the whole CM Punk thing. And like he seems like an asshole. I said, yeah, but he has the right friends. I said, listen, here's the thing. You'll hear a lot about how people hate Punk. All these people hate Punk. But Punk is friends with John Cena, The Rock. Like they all love him. Like, they'll all say great things about Punk. They all love him.
Randy Orton.
All the people who hate him are not as relevant.
Whoa. Shots at... never mind.
Oh,
well, I'm not going to try to do that tonight, bro. I've got to do that on Thursday every fucking week. I ain't trying to swim in those waters. I'm just trying to have a nice night here. Talking about
they all love radio. Punk. All the fucking big guys love Punk. Austin loves Punk.
The big guys. Do we know what Hogan thinks?
Probably. He's a good hand.
Someone needs to ask, bro. Someone needs to ask, Ace. All right. Seriously, though, incredible into the show. Incredible into the show. But not the only thing positive on this show by any means. This show was safely good well before that. And in some ways, it's a straight-up wrestling match. The co-main event is, like, to me, is, like, the real hit on the show in a weird way. Like, you can't compare them, right? Like, one of them had fucking 8 run-ins. But Bayley and Io tore it up, dude.
Yeah.
Bayley with one of the great sell jobs I've seen in some time. And Io Sky made the absolute most of this saying, right? Like, just completely relished the chance to wrestle in this saying with a little bit of time. That shit has very similar time to Sammy and Gunther. And they had the people were rocking. They were really with Bayley, told a simple story, classical wrestling kind of main event pace. I loved that match, Bobby. What did you make of Bayley's big title win?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I actually liked it even a little bit more than Rhea and Becky. I think
I agree.
They lived up to the hype, and I think we talked about it a little bit last night where when Rock and Roman weren't on SmackDown the past couple months, it was this stuff that was really leading the show and the main focal point. And they knocked it out of the park tonight. I'm happy for Bayley. I don't know that she's gonna hold the title for too long. I think it'll be back on EO before. Too long, but it was nice that Bayley gets that moment, and the match itself ruled.
Yeah, I liked it an awful lot. Oracle, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was the match of the night, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was... I mean... Roman Cody's its own universe, right? But, like, right. I thought it was the best actually work wrestling match, right? Like, Cody Roman was such a... spectacle. Obviously the first 20 minutes were great, but like I just thought I was so impressed with what they did here. Io was outstanding. Bayley selling was terrific. She as Willie's being, fairly critical to Bayley here. Yeah, she's not as explosive, but I really thought she was good in this, just from her selling. Io was awesome in this. I mean, the double Germans were tremendous, especially that second one. Man, that was great. Just the way that they paced the match. The Lope by Bayley looked awesome.
That was sick.
Yeah. And her selling was very convincing because for a minute, I actually kind of thought she was like hurt. I was like, oh. And then when Io started attacking, then I said, okay, Bayley's selling was really in a lot of ways the highlight here. Io's offense was tremendous, and she's felt so much more confident in the last year. I'll always think of that Bianca match, which I actually just recently rewatched at Backlash in Puerto Rico last year, which was like incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the match that kind of gave her that confidence that she needed, since she's moved up to the main roster. But just a great, great match. The finishing stretch was tremendous. Great near falls. The crowd was awesome throughout the whole match. I mean, they got totally into it. Bayley was super, super over as a babyface here. There's an awesome spot where, they played up that they know each other because they're with each other for so long. Io does, blocks the rose plant in that great spot.
That was crazy.
Yeah, had a great crowd reaction for that. Great job by Io with her charisma, showing off when she blocked it. And just incredible, just tremendous big time comeback from Bayley at the end, getting big 4 offensive moves to win the match. Great selling and bumping from EO. I really do think it was the match that I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah, I agree. It was my, I would have it second on the Mania overall, I think, behind Gunther and Sammy. I think, and they were in the same spot on the cards, right? It was interesting. Mm-hmm. Played similar roles in the shows too. Jack, what did you make of Bayley and EO, mate?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a great match. It was a well-deserved moment for Bayley. Hang on.
What's your name, mate?
Talking to my wife.
Okay. Jack Crosby here, folks. Lots going on. It's very late. Speaking of such, if you're watching this on YouTube, please do give us the thumbs up gimmick and subscribe and all that stuff. Jack Crosby, are you departing us now, mate? Are you off? Yeah. Are you off?
All right.
Have a good night, Jackie. Right. We appreciate you stopping by, mate.
Bye, Jack. See you, buddy.
Bye. Folks, if you're watching on YouTube, please do the thumbs up, the subscribe, all that good stuff. If you're on Twitch, do the same. Also, if you're in our chat, chill out a little bit. It's the late night grim. We ain't fucking PW Insider. Like, just calm down a little bit. We're just dudes who went live after the wrestling show. It's actually 4:38 a.m. here, so like, just chill out a little bit. But we appreciate the love. It's a great house, so we are thankful for the support nonetheless. You know what I'm saying, Oracle, right? I mean, this is just a late night grim, bro. Look at the name of this fucking place. We don't
listen.
We're getting a little bit too, it's a little much, you know. Everyone just give a chill out, you know.
Listen. We're critics, brother.
And also, you know, if you're upset about what Jack Crosby said,
Ebert, all right.
Or we want to know something too. I want to protect us here.
This ain't CNN newsroom.
If you're upset about what Jack Crosby said, it's none of my business. DM him. I didn't say shit. Leave me out of it. We're on free platforms, so our chat looks different to the way yours might look at home, folks. But anyway, nonetheless, elsewhere on the professional wrestling show known as WrestleMania XL Sunday, opening match, we had a sprint in the opener. An insane shootout, really. They had like 8 finishes across like a 10-minute match, Seth and Drew. I love the pace out the gate, the opening Claymore. But after that, they may have gone
much. Sorry to interrupt. You're right.
Yeah, they may have gone a beat far for my personal taste. But I do think it was a really fun match. Bob, what did you make of the opener?
Yeah, it was about as enjoyable as it could have been for me personally, I think. Like, you know, I knew that there were going to be parts. You know, you've seen a Seth Rollins match at this point. Like, there's going to be a lot of finishers. There's going to be him just kicking out of whatever. And, like, you know, it got the job done in the end. I think it was a really good choice to open as well. And, you know, to go from Drew winning the title to, you know, the Punk stuff to Priest, like we kind of all predicted, was cool to see too.
Yeah, I think they had the right match. We'll get to that Priest though, definitely, Bob, because that is a worthwhile victory. But I think they had the right match. They just probably, you know, sensibilities and such. For some people, it would have worked. By the end of it, I was like, hey, someone win, please. Oracle, I think you're in a similar place for this, right?
Yeah, like, listen, like, context matters, right?
Yeah.
It's... Granted, I still thought they did it even more than Roman Cody, but that, well, at least about even, but it was spaced out in Roman and Cody. But when you're doing a shootout, which is fine, I mean, it was a fun match. I thought it was good, very good. Even.
Yeah.
It's just finisher spamming like that is like, it's just not for me. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, they were kicking, I mean, they kicked out of each other's finishers like 3 or 4 times. Like, it was just like,
yeah. It was 4 claymores, I think, right, to get the job done.
And like 3 tops, right, or something crazy. Like, it was just not for me. But I don't disagree at all. Like, it was a very good match. It was a good shootout. But just that, you know, as you said, the sensibilities and stuff is just like, come on, let's just get it over with. Drew was very entertaining in the match, especially when he did the selfie or the tweet or whatever on his phone. The
tweet, yeah.
And then, of course, later on in the night, he just quote tweeted with fuck.
It was good shit.
The commentary was hilarious. Punk was a treat. I thought it was a little bit weird that they had him come out like as they were going, just as they were transitioning from the to the main show.
Stephanie had to get her entrance, mate. Didn't
she? That's true. Boy, what a hell of a remix that is.
Oh, my God, dude. That was insane. The remix.
But Punk's commentary during the Mummers parade entrance for Rollins was classic.
Yeah.
He had some funny moments. He was talking before they wanted him to, too, because they hadn't introduced him yet, and he was already talking about fucking Roddy Piper. And
the best part is Punk goes, What is this? This is stupid or lame or something. And Cole goes, who's that talking?
Yeah. But let's talk about the Punk post-match. And this was pretty much exactly as we put it together, right? Like, this was not my idea. We talked about it as a group. I had probably had the least input of anyone, but this was like exactly as we concluded. But the previous show, we talked about how he's going to goad Punk to such a degree that he's going to pay the price and end up erasing his own moment. And that was exactly what happened, even to the point of Punk's reaction to the music hit him, right? When Priest's music hit, Punk had the grin that we exactly as we forecasted. So we were pretty on the money with this one. Chris Bourdain, of course, was part of that team. Shout out to Chris. I hope you had a fun time. I'm pretty sure he did. I think tonight that would go without saying. Bob, you mentioned it earlier. Thoughts on us being correct?
Yeah, we're very good at this. We've watched long enough, and we know what to expect. And in all seriousness, though, they advanced basically three stories by doing this. And, the Punk and Drew thing is still hot for whenever Punk can come back. I don't know if him taking off the brace was kind of a tell that he'll be back sooner rather than later. I don't know for sure. Don't know if Drew and Seth will be around for the next little bit as they figure out their contract stuff. So there's a lot of moving pieces, but you did still advance three stories. And, now you also can kind of focus on the Bloodline, seeing what's next there, that they don't have tag titles and Priest is champion and all that now. So, yeah, it got a lot of stuff accomplished.
Yeah, I have no idea what Priest as champion looks like. And I honestly don't watch enough to care. I just thought it was a great angle. Is the perfect... Dude, Drew won, and he was, like, celebrating like he was the hero. He's a heel. This was the right finish. He played his food, and he got fucked for it. It was great, Oracle. It was very, very well done. What did you make of the post-match?
It was tremendous. Like, I wasn't sure, but, like, as the longer he stood on the table, I was like, oh, yeah.
They're doing it, yeah.
I love the part where he, like, was cutting his promo on Punk, and Punk goes, well, the thing is, I can't hear you. Of course, he does a second sign, and Punk trips him up, and then like takes his brace off and puts like some like what did he put on that like he like picked up the brace and hit him with it or something.
Yeah, he like he saw him on the shoulder. It was a weird looking physicality, but it was fun.
But, like, it's like he putting on like a weapon or something.
Yeah, and then he was stomping on him like he was De Niro in Goodfellas.
Priest cashing was awesome. Punk like laughing, grinning on the table and clapping was awesome. Just a tremendous moment and great booking, I thought, throughout the whole thing. Just great stuff. Priest is world champ. They made, here's the thing, that title could never exist in the first place, to be honest. Especially if Cody's gonna work two shows, but Priest is been quite good for the most of the year. There are times where he's kind of like whatever in the ring, and like he's not necessarily world champ material, but I don't know, man, Swagger is world champion, I've seen some shit over the years.
I don't think it'll be a long reign either.
I really enjoyed the Judgment Day celebration on the ramp, which I guess my theory of Judgment Day ending sooner rather than later might not be true, although I still think there might be some. I still think there's an arc for them to dissolve over the course of maybe 40 to 41.
Yeah, especially if it isn't
going to be coming as soon as I thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'm intrigued. I think the chat's right. There's a good chance that Drew gets the belt back at Clash because he's going to be a babyface in Scotland, right? So you can do that. You can have him work Priest there. Like, you can – there's different ways around this. We'll see what it looks like. I think it was worthwhile for the angle, to be honest, but we'll see. We'll see how it translates. But a good opener kind of set the tone. It was immediately clear there was more energy in the building. The crowd was hotter this night, so that was cool. All right. What have we covered here? Let's talk. Let's just go in order now with what's left, right? Makes sense. Philadelphia street fight. The final testament, famous for their staying power, as Bob once informed us. And Bob Lash and the Street Profits. And, well, there's a lot here, right? Because the star of the show was Snoop Dogg, obviously, who was extraordinary. Somehow managed to sound like he'd seen every wrestling match ever and or no wrestling matches in his entire life. It was amazing. He seemed to be aware of what was going on without knowing anything of what was going on. It was unbelievable. However, while he was the star of the show, he was not the funniest part of this match. As that, in fact, was professional wrestler and podcaster Bubba Ray Dudley appearing. And, folks, look, I'm a large man myself. I'm not here to body shame in the year of 2024. That's not my intention. However, if you're a friend of Bubba Ray Dudley, you should have told him, I don't give a fuck what the rules are. Do not tuck that shirt in, brother. Don't do it. There's no reason to be tucking that shirt in when you're going out there in front of 70,000 people. He looked outrageous in every which way here. He looked like Alex Jones, bro. That's who he looked like. It was horrifying. And as soon as he came out, I just laughed because, of course, it's Bubba Ray Dudley, and he's got a referee shirt on, and it's tucked in, and his trousers are up to his nipples. It's fucking insane looking. And he's standing in the corner of the ring looking terrified, which fair, because the match is going 100 miles an hour. And, I mean, these two trios are just... I mean, they're doing 100 different things, but the people are just kind of sitting there, which made it funnier. I don't know. I had a great time with this. I don't think it was really good, but I don't really give a fuck. Who could possibly care? It was entertaining, Bobby. What did you make of the Philadelphia street fight?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of fun. You know, Montez doing the thing where he jumped over the entire corner and almost flew into the crowd was crazy. The B-Fab and Scarlet Russian leg sweep through the table was crazy. It was a good match, man. Like, it would...
Was it? I don't know if it was. No. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it was cool, I guess, that they kind of did the tribute to ECW. I wish they would have brought someone else from ECW in to do well. You know, Rob Van Dam being the special ref would have been a lot more fun.
You popped, Bob. Be honest. You're a big Busted Open guy. Come on.
But it was fun. I'm glad Lashley got a win after last year and... You know, I still don't think that group's going to be around too much longer, but, you know, it was a good win for him.
When the table broke at the end, that was the icing on the cake. Really. And Cross, because they took so fucking long, Montez did the right thing and was like, I'm going to just have to whack the Cross with this kid. Yeah. And he kicked the shit out of him, dude. It was, God, this was funny, Oracle, wasn't it? What a time.
Oh, this was extremely entertaining. I thought it was a fun match. Not good. I thought it was fun. Yeah. And here's the thing. They booked it perfectly because they had Snoop Dogg on commentary. So the people watching could be amused by that. Seriously, I'm not joking.
You're right.
And they had Bubba Ray Dudley in Philadelphia. So the people in the crowd, the fans in the arena could be entertained by that. Because, no. I'm not trying to be. Well, they knew that this match was the weakest of the entire weekend.
They dressed it up.
So. They just threw them the bone to have their match and said, "Well, we got to book it so like it doesn't get totally shit on." So they did that, and I actually commend them for that. It was very well booked. The part where the table broke was unbelievably funny. Snoop Dogg popping huge for the Russian leg sweep to the table. The two best workers in the match were arguably Scarlett and. B-Fab.
There was a big boot in there that was pretty sick. A pump kick, dare I say.
I mean, I'm being somewhat facetious or whatever, ridiculous, but...
It wasn't the worst, I would agree, yeah.
It was a very funny match, very entertaining one. Yeah, Jake's right. Snoop Dogg popped for, like, the backdrop driver, whatever the hell they hit. That's an old-school move.
Old school move, yeah. What about when they came out and Bob Lash? Fucking Bobby Lashley is so awesome, dude. So the big idea for their entrance, what's their faction's name? I always Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits and B-Fab. What's that?
The Pride.
The Pride. Okay, so the Pride's entrance was simply that they would all do Bobby's thing he does. And that's a funny thing to begin with, because Bobby does it like he's like he'd rather do anything else in the world. And Bobby said, "We're at WrestleMania. I ain't fucking this up. We're going to get the timing on this shit right." And Bobby goes, "Here we go." And together they all did. He audibly said, "Here we go." Because he's like, "We're going to get the timing on this taunt right." And they got it right. And yeah, it was. I'm glad Bobby got on Mania, because he was obviously left off last year, and that was a shame. So I'm glad he was on. I don't know what happens with the final test. Bob, are you still convinced about this staying power thing? I'm not convinced, man. I've got to be honest with you. I don't know.
No, not really. Like I said, I think SmackDown needs heels, but I think there's going to be a draft coming soon, and they we could do without them.
I'm hesitant to ask this because I know he's bad at podcasting, but is there room for Bubba Ray Dudley to be a full-time referee, please? Just for me.
I don't think so.
I couldn't take my eyes off the man.
Probably put the glasses on as like the big pop was amusing.
Dude, the way he was like poised in the corner, but not really. He looked like he'd snuck in, you know. It was fascinating to watch. Really was.
This was the comedy match of the, you know, like.
He sure was. Yeah. I couldn't.
We've had that every year. Since we've been doing this grinning thing.
Bob Lashley is, I mean, 2 years ago, the Omos match got us through some. I mean, that was magical. But I'll never forget the Omos Bob Lash spear to the kidneys deal that we got a couple of years back.
Oh, no. And then, of course, the
stunner to Vince.
Oh, my God. And then last year was the Snoop Dogg, Miz, Shane.
Yeah.
That will never be topped. But Bubba and the referee top did come fucking close for me. I'm not gonna lie. I just, because this wasn't even reported or rumored, and they were like Hall of Famer, ECW legend. I'm thinking, who are they about to pull out here to do this? When they said Bubba Ray Dudley, I like got like secondhand embarrassment from it. You know, like it was like it was something else. Bob, what was your audible reaction to Bubba Ray?
Yeah, that was out of nowhere, man. I don't know. Like,
did you yell "God bless America"?
I did. You know, I was trying to figure out, because again, there's been ECW guys around all weekend. You know, Van Damme was at the Hall of Fame, and Tommy Dreamer was there, and you know, Sandman's been around. I wasn't expecting Bubba Ray Dudley.
I'm heard from good sources that Jack Crosby yelled, "Take that AEW Mecca," and pumped his fist in the air. That's what I heard. I could be wrong. What about when Bubba was like telling them how to do the what's up deal? Like, just what a weird, like, I want to know. Someone needs to DM me now. Who had the idea? Who put their hand up and said, "Let's get Bubba Ray Dudley in for this"? What the fuck? Where did it come from? I don't know. It worked though. So good for them, I guess. I don't know. I don't know, folks. It was fucking insane. Tez did an incredible dive that no one will ever remember.
Yeah.
And I missed because I was popping at Bubba Ray Dudley, clearly. They did so much stuff to silence, like, because the crowd wanted to just look at Bubba Ray Dudley like I did, you know? Like, it's... I can't remember any of it, you know? It's like, it was fun.
That's awesome.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Like, every year, man. You got to have something that, you know, gets you, you know, you got to have a good laugh.
Cross hit like this brutal back suplex on Bob Lash, and in Philadelphia was just sitting there like, it's totally unfair. The final testament. Karrion Kross is not a small dude, and AOP a big fucking guy. Like, they're big, man. Mm-hmm. And they're out there wrestling like no one is even responding to them. Like, it's incredible. God bless them. All right, I was really happy to see this next match be good. We had our fun, and I got silly and said, "I'm going to pretend it's good." Sincerely, I was going to pretend the Usos match was good, and I had to come on and declare it was fucking terrible. So let me enjoy this. Dude, AJ Styles and LA Knight had a good wrestling match, man. Like, and it stood out because to this point in the show, it was the first professional wrestling match that had like an outline of a wrestling match, which is, you know, always nice. AJ put in a shift here, bro. He had his working boots on. And I think he was desperate to make sure it wasn't just like a nothing match. It's obviously not going to be something that people remember for a long time, but it was a good wrestling match, Bobby. What do you think? AJ and LA?
Yeah, honestly, I think it might have been the best LA Knight match that we've seen. I thought he did a great job. I think AJ did a great job. And, you know, I was not going in expecting to like it very much at all. And they did a great job with it. They made the most of their time. And, you know, it was nice to see for AJ because we kind of talked about how his WrestleMania career has been all over the place. And this is a really nice one for him. I don't know that it's going to be his last one. I know he's going to slow down soon, it seems like. But this is just a really good one for him.
Yeah. He, I think it's pretty clear that he can still have good wrestling matches.
Yeah.
Pretty, you know, it's just a matter of placement, opponent, all that stuff. Speaking of reminders, folks, hit that thumbs up, all that good shit. Oracle, LA Knight, AJ Styles, what did you think?
Good match, huh? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there were things I appreciated about. Well, first of all, the pre-match stuff, Michael Cole said an underrated, hilarious line about the woman who got the car. He said something about, I don't know what he said. He said, I can't wait till she drops a bomb on that one. Or some line that was just like.
Wait, what was he saying? I'm confused.
So when LA Knight came out and gave that woman the car.
I may have sincerely missed this. See, I don't think I saw this.
You didn't see it? Okay.
Was it when he got to ringside? Because I didn't see. I know I saw this.
Oh, yeah, you missed it. So, yeah, he came out because he came in the Slim Jim car, and he gives the woman the key of the car. She's like, oh, and she's like kind of like doesn't really have, you know, I mean, it's just a random, you know.
Right, she's a normal woman, person.
You know, she doesn't have any camera presence or anything. Right. So Michael Cole, like, says,
okay.
I don't know if I misread it, like, or misunderstood, but it's like buries her.
Just a normal, basically, she had a normal person reaction, right? She wasn't being like a sicko wrestling. Okay, I've got you. Understand? Yeah, I missed this definitely. Okay,
but yeah, this match was good, man. I really appreciated that they just brawled right from the get go. You know, I mean, fucking LA Knight invaded the dude's home. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're supposed to have some aggressiveness and some, you know, some brawling here, right? AJ's bumping was fantastic. I took a couple of those crazy over the ropes apron bumps that he takes that are just only AJ can do. The avalanche German suplex was tremendous. I really liked that they continued. You know, they didn't do it the whole match, you know, but they brought back that hate there, you know, when they pulled the mat up and mm-hmm. you know. So like they and then they, you know, AJ did the leg work. LA probably could have sold a little bit better, but I mean,
yeah,
his strengths have never been in the ring, you know.
No,
but you know, he was okay here. AJ was just, I mean, he was just killing himself out there.
He was on one, yeah.
And they really found a good groove and had themselves a very good match here. Of course, you know, the right guy won. Crowd was into this, you know. LA Knight's still very over. This was a very pleasant surprise.
Perfect undercard.
And match, was right? Critical to the show overall because this was the piece that the show needed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To really put it over the top as a great show. And potentially not all classic shows are all-time greats, but potentially even a classic one, right? Because I'm not even certain this is an all-time great show necessarily. We might look back on it in hindsight because, I mean, the ending was so...
The endings, yeah.
But it was clearly a great show, and this match was a huge contribution to that.
Yeah, I agree. The chat's asking, AJ's new theme fucking sucks.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, they all. When he said he was getting a new theme, everyone was so excited that he was gonna bring back Evil Ways and all that shit. It's like, dude, it was always gonna be this. They were always gonna make a shitty new theme for him, as is tradition in the new WWF. This is the. It may be a new era. The music is not a highlight of that era. The music sucks, dude. It sucks.
Except for that Steph remix, brother.
Of course, yeah, guys. speaking of such, quickly, what was the deal with Bailey? Because I was in and out. What was the deal with Bailey's entrance? What was the hook? What was the tie with that?
They didn't really explain it.
Corey Graves mentioned that there was an. Like a park or something that had an Egyptian sort of theme or some type in the San Jose area that, and he even seemed kind of totally, he even seemed somewhat unsure about it. It was very bizarre.
It felt like a heel entrance, didn't it?
It did. I don't understand what it was. You know, it was just it was very weird.
The people still cheered us. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it was weird.
I'm just gonna be honest with you. It was a bad entrance because it felt
that way to me. Yeah,
but like, I mean, the crowd loved her and she did great, and the match was the match of the weekend in a lot of ways, you know, arguably. So I mean,
it was weird. No, it wasn't a big deal. It's just
it's worth pointing out. It was very bizarre.
The music is an issue, but nonetheless, yeah. AJ and LA had a good one. I agree with someone who said it in the chat, and we mentioned it earlier. It's the kind of match that you kind of can reassess, like, the lack of heels. You might need AJ for one of those Cody pay-per-view matches, honestly. Like, there's...
Yeah.
I mean, I know... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Okay, folks. Seatbelts on. Here we go.
What's going on, y'all?
Where are you reporting from right now?
I'm in my buddy AJ's backyard in Princeton, Texas right now. Like, the party's going on. We're raging on right now.
Well, I, in that case, I don't want to keep you too long. I want you to have fun and enjoy the night. It's a triumphant night for you, but I do want to give you a chance. It's a big one, brother. The story is finished. The floor is yours. Go for it, Alex.
Yeah, like I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm also not used to doing this on my phone. So if I'm fucking sweating, I apologize. It was strange too. Like, there seemed to be an energy about night two that wasn't there for night one, even with The Rock and everything. Like, there seemed to be just like kind of an intangible. Like, even like the AJ. I don't know if you guys have talked about this so far, but the AJ LA Knight match, the crowd seemed to be really invested in it, and there was a lot of good shit. Yeah, man. I mean, everyone, when I was on here, and me and Oracle have talked about it, like, just like fantasy book and all the ridiculous Backlash 2000 bullshit that they were going to do. And that's pretty much what they did with Taker instead of Austin. Kind of weird. But, and then in my kayfabe brain, I immediately went like, oh, this makes sense. Cause like, Austin finished his rivalry with The Rock, but The Undertaker is still the conscience of the WWE. So he shows up to, like, you know, right the wrongs and shit. So, dude, and it's wrestling such stupid bullshit, but that whole thing of, like, Cody doing the rolling crossroads and he could never hit the third one. And when he finally hit the third one, that's how he fucking beat Roman Reigns. Like, it was, I don't know how I feel about all, like, they treat it like the Ring of Honor title win, where, you know, like, Bruce Pritchard in the place of Kerry Silken coming out to hand the belt over and shit. And it was just like, but, dude, that, like, I have to, and I haven't posted this yet on Twitter. And the whole thing is like, I have to eat a huge slice of humble pie. Cause I remember my whole thing after last year was, they're not going to get back this feeling that Cody, like, needs to win again. And they did a whole year and they got it back and they made it seem, who's to say if he had won last year where things would be versus where they are now, you know what I mean? But, like, they made it seem really important and it was a lot of fun. And I think it caps off was probably the most ballsy weekend Triple H has ever had as a booker, where he ended every long title reign. Like, that's
The babyfaces won, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah. And that's people kept talking about, I think by de facto Bailey, you know, Pam got shut out. Like, people were like, she's going to lose because he's not going to have every long title reign end this weekend. And, I missed this. I'm most curious, because I think we're probably all on the same page about the main event. What did y'all think about that Drew Seth match? Because I remember us talking about, like, they can't do this work rate bullshit, and it really wasn't. It was just like big move, big move, big move.
Yeah.
And that was the perfect way for Priest to cash in, where Punk, you know, like,
It's
still Punk and Drew is still a massive money match with or without the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were very positive on the angle, positive on the match too. The only gripe we had, because Oracle and I, we a couple finishes too many. You know, look at You need eight claymores, you know. But it was definitely the right match. I much preferred it to a conventional title epic, definitely. Very good, man. Very, very. It was a special night.
What? I apologize for not being up to date on the post show last night. What was the thoughts on last night? Like, Gunther and Sammy, that closing stretch was very special, but to me, last night kind of felt lacking, man. Like, yeah. Them going the 45 minutes in the tag was a bit much.
Yeah,
a bit might be an understatement. Yeah,
well, I spent like
I'm in a good mood. I'm trying to be polite.
No. The first 20 minutes of that match were terrible, man. The first 25, really. The last 20, I love the last 20 of last night's main event, but the first 25 were just bad.
I'm up here with my buddies in Dallas, like some lifelong friends and shit, and like we've been partying. And the one moment all weekend that I was like, fuck, I really wish I was on a live stream with the fucking Green Grappler boys right now, is when Rock threw Seth over the barricade. And it was like, is Rock doing 06 TNA Walk and Brawl main event wrestling right now? And that's what he was doing.
it was somehow a slower pace than that outline. But yes, it was something else. I'm very happy to say that I'm much more positive coming out of this show than I was last night's show.
Last night wasn't bad. It was just okay, right?
It was fine. I gave it a 6. Mm-hmm. But in my heart, I was, it may be over. That was my station last night, and I'm happy tonight. It's good.
There's a really weird thing already with, like, this, you know, the two-night WrestleMania has only been for less than 5 years, but, like, this weird already built-in thing because of last year and even the one in Dallas with Austin and Owens that people think, like, night one's supposed to be the better one. And that Rhea didn't help that when she did an interview this week where she was like, that's the night you want to work where, you know, you can. So I think there was kind of lofty expectations for last night. And yeah, I don't know where y'all are, but Rebecca Knox's All Elite was definitely the body language of that match last night.
There's no way. Rebecca Knox. Good Lord.
Dude, when you walked out to the ring, I was like, you know, if I was reading body language, I would think something right now. But it was a lot of fun. And tonight just kind of hit on a different stride. And we wrapped up the press conference there where Triple H said it was the weather. He was like, oh, you know, it wasn't as cold tonight. So that's why the crowd was more lively. It's like, all right, man, whatever you want to believe, go for it. Boy.
I don't know, man. Maybe, man. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I see what you're saying there, but like, I feel like that might have been more of a problem than we realized.
It was.
None of us were there. None of us were there.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, Bob was, but yeah.
Alex, he was there for the cross match.
Of course. Speaking of such, before I let you go, do you have any comment at all on Bubba Ray Dudley and his appearance tonight? Because, like, I honestly think it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. I still can't get over it. It's like I was the special guest referee, dude. It was fucking awesome.
Becky Black is All Elite. Come on, man.
Did y'all see from the Superstore? Like, if I had been there, it was a thing. Did you see they had the Wrestle Effin' Mania shirts in the font of the old school ECW shirt? Owen's trunks tonight were like the TNN era ECW logo on his trunks, which I thought was really cool. Yeah, dude, like that Bubba Ray thing. I think it's been documented in Grin Grappler canon. It always drove me nuts when referees wouldn't tuck their shirts in for like legitimate matches.
It's your fault, bro.
That shit always drove me nuts. And then Bubba Ray comes out looking like a pristine fucking, you know, referee for an NWA title match tonight for this dumb fucking Karrion Kross street fight. And then, dude, even like, oh God, yeah. He could have just worn the event shirt over jeans and they just would have said he was the ref and I would have been okay with it. It made it too ridiculous. That, to be fair, you know, to credit to Bob with his wrestler Karrion Kross and his political affiliations, you know, I think that match turned out way better than I expected. It was pretty fun.
It was fun. It was very fun. All right, Alex, I'm gonna let you get back to your party.
All right,
tell AJ we liked his match with LA Knight, okay, bro?
Yeah, yeah. I just had to touch base, and you know, it's a special night. It's celebration is in the air. You know, y'all stay tuned. Terry Gordy, Grin Grappler coming up. Even, you know, with Bob's political affiliations, you should still follow him on Twitter. He's a good guy. Yeah. And, yeah, it's
wonderful.
Good to touch base with y'all.
Sweet, mate. Speak soon, bro. You, bud. Have a good night, Alex. My goodness.
What a moment. We just had a WrestleMania moment right there.
The High Chancellor of It Used to Be Better just came on here in jubilation, glory, triumph. That says it all, doesn't it, folks? I have to say, though, we're the Fed free around here. It's hard to deal with. I mean, it's hard to wrangle these fellas. You know, you got Crosby cutting promos on the Young Bucks. Alex is talking about Rebecca Knox. I mean, you know where they're going. Yeah, I'm ducking and diving, bobbing and weaving. It's difficult to keep up with what's going on around here. But nonetheless, we love Alex. I'm glad he had a good time watching the show tonight. He was devastated last year. We needed to finish that story right here at the Late Night Grip. We needed to finish that story. Last match to talk about before we get out of here, folks. We appreciate the support tonight and all weekend. Honestly, the support for the LNG reboot in general has been crazy, right? Like, really has been noticeable. There's been an increase in interest, so we appreciate it. I want to also stress that 99% of our chat has been awesome tonight. There was a short thing that most you would have missed because you're on YouTube, but thankfully that's the case. So we appreciate the love. Before we get out of here, let's talk about the triple threat for the US title. Randy, Logan, Kevin Owens, hilarious entrance deal, which was funny conceptually, but was funny in execution because Randy was desperate for Kevin to slow down. Just desperate for him to slow down. It accelerated Randy's entrance some, which I think is appreciated based on how it currently is these days. But yeah, really cool stuff. Not quite the match I imagined. Slower pace because it went longer than I thought. We're only like 16 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. I think some of these Logan matches are longer than they need to be, you know. But I do think he looked good, and I thought they had a good match. The crowd liked it a lot. Again, not quite the level I imagined, but I did like it. Bobby, what did you make of the U.S. title triple threat?
Yeah, I thought it was a good enough time. Honestly, I just wanted to see. I thought Randy was going to try and do an RKO counter out of the pop-up powerbomb, and then he did, and it looked really cool. And that's kind of all I was looking for in that match. You know, Logan winning is whatever, I guess. You know, maybe LA Knight still takes it off of him at some point, or, you know, whatever. It kind of is what it is at this point. But, yeah, you know, I'm glad Randy got out there. It's nice to see him back at WrestleMania, obviously, and kind of thought maybe Owens would win after they did the kind of reverse the Zayn thing from last night, but it was fine.
Randy wouldn't hit 3 RKOs in this match and didn't win. That's kind of crazy, right? I'd like to know the last time that happened. Like, Kevin Owens kicked out of one tonight. Just like, that never happens anymore, right? I'm pretty sure. Cool match, though, Rick. I liked it. What did you think?
Oh, yeah, this was fun. You know, definitely a little long.
Yeah.
Pace, you know, a little bit slower. Willie's right. Randy Orton took the one, you know, flat back, and then my favorite Randy moment, other than him just being awesome, was him getting punched off the ring apron, or punched off the ring rather, and he like took like a 3 or 4 step bump.
He never falls down anymore, dude.
He said, "Fuck that, bro. I got a terrible back, man. Like, I ain't doing that shit. I took one flat back. I'm done."
He said, "This is for the U.S. title." Take it easy, bro.
He beat the fuck out of that fella in the prime costume. He did.
What was that gentleman's name? He gave him. What was his name, that dude, Bob?
I don't actually. He's a
I don't very know. Popular, I'm told. Very popular.
Yeah.
Randy seemed thrilled to see him.
I show speed.
I show speed. Okay, so I show speed.
Randy out, and Randy was like, "All right, fuck this, bro." Well,
he was barking at Randy, and then Randy barked back before he hit an RKO, which he, as you know, he fucking RKO'd him. I mean, good lord.
He fucking killed that dude.
And then they took a close-up on Randy's face, and he looked so mad that table had stayed up. He looked just disgusted at what happened here. Like, he looked at the cameras and was like, can nothing go right? You know, like, he takes his time out there, man. Kevin works super hard, obviously, always.
Kev was great here, and that pop-up RKO was tremendous. I mean, that just looked beautiful. Good finish. I thought Logan would win. I felt there was a chance that Kevin might win here with the Sami Zayn thing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me wonder if, not necessarily on Sami, but I wonder if we're going to, I don't know, he's so popular, he's so over, but I wonder if they'll do a KO heel turn over the course of next year.
Well, I think it could happen because I think him and Randy may actually do a tag run.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of those guys turns eventually, I think it's Randy may want to turn. I don't think you're going to turn Randy, man. I think Kevin's the one to turn there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, now, I have to be honest, as a fan, I would rather Kevin stay a babyface.
Yeah.
I think his matches are much mm-hmm. better.
Think he's a much better babyface, yeah.
Yeah. His matches are much better, I think. But I do. How long has he been a babyface now? What are we looking at?
Oh,
I guess the Austin thing was.
He's been a baby for 5 years now.
Yeah. How long was he a heel for the Austin?
No, he was a heel for about what? He was a heel for about
6 months.
What, 9 months from fall 21 to summer 22?
Mm-hmm.
2021, 2020, all that stuff, please. Yeah. But yeah, he was over the heel for the Austin thing, and then he did the Ezekiel thing.
Mm-hmm. which he was very good in, both Austin and Ezekiel.
And then he turned babyface at the start of the Triple H regime, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Pavlovic era, as I'm told. Bob, have you got an official name for the era yet? Because we need to lock this in, I think.
Apparently the Pavlovic era, the Renaissance era. I don't really like either name.
The Renaissance era is, come on, man. We've got to do better.
I know.
Yeah.
I think this was the end of it. I'll say it. I refuse to accept that the summer of 22 is the start of it. Because Vince is still. This is the start of the era tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah.
This last era was the Bloodline era.
Bob, do you accept that, or are you fighting back on it?
No, that's fair.
Okay, good. I didn't think you would fight it, to be fair, especially at this point in the night. It's been a while. Okay.
The post-pervert era.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be that confident.
not quite.
Slightly less pervert era probably would be more fitting in professional wrestling, unfortunately, but yeah. Interesting times indeed. No, you're fine. The Bob O'Neill era would be interesting, yeah. The Bob O'Neill era was actually 2015 through 2019.
Yeah.
The wild card rule and all that good shit. All right, folks, we're getting out of hand here. Okay, final thoughts, Oracle, any closing statement on this amazing
great show? And it probably was a classic show. I think I'm comfortable calling last year's Mania Classic Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And night one was so good, right?
Yeah,
and the in-ring was so good on those shows that it was easy to kind of call it even right away. You know, but even then, you know, I always like to try to give it a couple months and then kind of reflect. Yeah, but this is probably a classic, you know, especially with the era ending and starting a new one, which feels like that's the case here.
Felt like something was going to be replayed forever, the ending, right? It felt like we're going to see it for years to come. Bobby, your hair's still not been cut. You look somewhat tired.
Yeah.
You've made it. Do you have any closing comments, mate?
No. I'm glad that Cody finished the story. I think Raw's pretty intriguing tomorrow. And we'll see what happens from there, you know. We'll see how Backlash is already, I think, like 3 weeks away, so.
They got a lot of shows this whole summer. It's like 6 shows this summer.
Yeah. It's going to be fun for us, man. It's going to be fun. That's the, you know,
that's true.
That's why I think we were so excited to get back at it. And speaking of such, folks, as you can tell, my voice is barely hanging on. It is 5:21 a.m. here in Gotham City. And we made it through.
Kind of feel that way, don't it?
It sure does. we made it through another WrestleMania weekend. And I've been live Supercard on. I did a Dynamite review on Thursday, Supercard Friday, and then we've done these last 2 nights. And it is always a pleasure We have a lot of fun with this time of year. And I think, I hope anyway, that our approach to this particular year is indicative of the kind of way we're moving, you know, going forward here, right? It's been a hell of a ride. We're not slowing down anytime soon, but I think we're all trying to pick our spots more and have fun with it, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very important to all of us. So I say all that to say I'm very thankful for the support over this weekend. I hope that we, in some way, shape, or form, enhanced your experience of the wrestling, whatever it is you watch, whether you watch Supercard, whether you watch Just Mania, whatever the fuck you watched. I hope we was a fun part of the experience for you all. And the show keeps on, right? This Friday, the Late Night Grin is back for a New Japan watch-along. The aforementioned Contrarian Alex will be in the house for that, for a Tomohiro Ishii Nick Nemeth match. What that will look like, we do not know. We'll find out this Friday with a different lineup. So we're gonna keep things moving forward here. All right, good times ahead. Terry Gordy, Green Grappler, as was mentioned. Stay tuned at Late Night Grin for all of that good stuff and more. Fleet Week is back on Thursday. Dukes has informed me via the chat. They've got a lot to talk about if things happen on Dynamite that are supposed to happen on Dynamite. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it really is like sincerely a pleasure to have these, you know, to share these moments, right? It's cool. It's really, really cool. So a blast as always. We made it for another one. Folks, it has been wonderful. We hope you have a great evening, whatever is left of it, wherever you're at. And we hope you had a great WrestleMania weekend. So with that, I've been Joe Burt. That has been the Oracle of Wrestling, and that has been Bobby Bullets. Please enjoy this fancy outro. Keep grinning and all hell. Speak soon, folks. Have a good one.